This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
الله 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 الله.
Par excellence presents Jewels from the Holy Quran, a series of lectures by Mufti Ismail ibn Musa Menk. Lecture 10, Jews 11 and quarter to 12 and half.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وكفى وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عباده الذين اصطفى. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Complete blessings and salutations be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and all his companions and all of us and our offspring inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all on this wonderful eve of Ramadan. May Allah's mercy descend on us and may Allah forgive our sins. Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anna. O Allah, You are definitely most forgiving, you love to forgive, so forgive us on this eve, Ya Allah. Honored ulama, beloved brothers and sisters and dearest listeners, this evening we read verses from Surah Hud, we completed Surah Hud, we commenced Surah Yusuf and completed it, and thereafter we commenced Surah Ar-Ra'd. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us to explain a few of the verses that we have gone through, and may we draw lessons from them for our lives, our day-to-day lives. For indeed, every verse that we read, even if it is connected to those who are before us, meaning the previous nations, if we read it once, twice, we think about it, it applies to us in our lives in one way or another. May Allah make it easy for us to understand. Let's take a look at Ad, the people of Hud alayhi salatu wassalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeats the stories of the Anbiya for different reasons, as I've mentioned. In this particular place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights the fact that this Nabi told his people that I don't want any money from you, I don't want any reward from you, my reward is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Ya qawmi la as'alukum alayhi ajra in ajriya illa ala alladhi fatarani afala ta'qilun.
O my people, I do not intend to achieve anything material from you. I don't want a reward from you. My reward is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am only a messenger who is presenting the message of the Creator to the created. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us also the ability to understand that when an imam gets up on a Friday and he gives us a message, that message is Allah's message for us. Sometimes we might be guilty of being involved in what that imam is speaking about, so we develop a hatred against the imam. That is not the quality of a believer. Rather, we should be from amongst those who thank Allah that, Ya Allah, you have created someone who spoke about the weakness that I am involved in. I will take heed, inshallah. So this is something we need to learn from here. Also, he told his people,
وَيَا قَوْمِ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ ثُمَّ تُوبُوا إِلَيْهِ.
O my people, engage in repentance and then return to Allah. Engage in repentance and turn to Allah. There is no point in engaging in repentance and then turning back to the sin. Rather, we engage in repentance and then we don't engage in that sin again. We turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one might ask, what are the benefits of tawbah? Do you know that the benefits of tawbah, one of them is that you will be granted sustenance. The wealth that we want so much. If we engage in istighfar and we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will give it to us or He will give us barakah in the wealth. Listen to what Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam told his people in another place in the Quran.
فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ.
This is in Surah Nuh.
إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا.
Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam told his people, engage in istighfar, engage in tawbah, and you will find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most forgiving. He will send the rain as a result of your repentance. So when we want rain, we need to ask Allah's forgiveness. Then the rain will come.
And over and above that, he will grant you lots of wealth and he will grant you offspring who will be the coolness of your eyes. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant that to us. And then he says, on top of that, he will grant us Jannah in the Akhirah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant that to us as well. At the end, when the people of Hud alayhi salatu was salam did not listen to him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَلَمَّا جَاءَ أَمْرُنَا نَجَّيْنَا هُودًا وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ بِرَحْمَةٍ مِنَّا وَنَجَّيْنَاهُمْ مِنْ عَذَابٍ غَلِيظٍ.
When our punishment came down, we saved the Prophet and we saved those who followed him. The rest of them, we destroyed them. This means, if we are to be upright, inshallah, if the punishment is deserved by the people around us, Allah will first safeguard us. He will create a means for us to leave the city or the town that He is about to destroy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us. The means of achieving protection from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to engage in istighfar, to follow the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter, there is the story of Salih alayhi salatu wa salam. He was sent to a nation known as Thamud. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of some very important issues here. Do you know that when there is a bright and intelligent youngster, very bright, very intelligent, what do the family members say? Normally they say, hey, send this youngster to the university, let him become a doctor, he's very clever. Let him become a lawyer, an accountant. We are not saying it's wrong to become lawyers and accountants and doctors. But if that youngster then decides, no, I want to become a maulana, I want to become a sheikh, I want to become an alim, sometimes members of his or her own family will say, you know what, there's no future for you. No future at all. What are you going to earn? These people earn 500 rands a month and they go around begging, they drive the Corollas and the Datsuns 120Ys and so on. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. If that is our understanding of happiness and goodness, then we are also going to be destroyed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not do that to us. So that is what the people of Salih told him. He was very bright, very intelligent. Do you know what they said? After he became a messenger and he told them the goodness, he says, I am a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have come to you with good news. They said, Ya Salihu, قَدْ كُنْتَ فِينَا مَرْجُوًا قَبْلَ هَذَا. O Salih, we had lots of hope in you. We thought you were going to achieve something, you were going to become someone in society and community before you came to tell us that now I'm a prophet. Allahu Akbar. So they lost hope. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in fact made him far higher than everyone else. So the same applies to the ulama of this ummah. A point of encouragement for those who are intending to study this deen. There is a chance and a possibility that Allah can bring together for you both the deen and the dunya. There can be a doctor who is also a sheikh. We can have an accountant who's a very good Muslim. As I said yesterday, we are in need of the Muslim doctor, the Muslim accountant, the Muslim lawyer, even the Muslim plumber, who knows about Islam and who is a brilliant person. May Allah grant us success in both scopes, inshallah. So that is as far as Salih alayhi salatu wasalam's people told him. Then Allah makes mention about when the punishment came. Once again, I told you the highlight of every time is different. Allah says,
وَلَمَّا جَاءَ أَمْرُنَا نَجَّيْنَا صَالِحًا وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ بِرَحْمَةٍ مِنَّا وَمِنْ خِزْيِ يَوْمِئِذْ.
Allah says, when the punishment came, when we sent our command of punishment, we first saved the messenger and we saved those who believed with him, and thereafter we destroyed everyone else. Allah says, we saved them from the disgrace of that particular day. May Allah save us also. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. Very, very interesting. Ibrahim alayhi salam and Lut alayhi salam were present at the same time. In fact, they were related as well. And Lut alayhi salam was sent to Qura Sadum, the villages of Sodom and Gomorrah, where they were engaged in homosexuality and sodomy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all and our offspring as well. And the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, we all know that he came and he built the Kaaba and so on. And one day, the malaika came to him as guests in the form of men. He saw these three people, and they were very good looking. He didn't recognize them. He let them sit down and he went to the back. Imagine hospitality. Do you want to know the height of hospitality? Listen to Ibrahim alayhi salam. How many guests came to him? According to some of the narrations, three guests. He looked at them. He greeted them. He let them sit down. And thereafter, he went back. He slaughtered the calf. They, with the barakah of time, it happened very fast. They roasted that calf and he presented the calf in front of how many people? 3. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to present even the right amount of samosas in front of our own guests. Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us hospitable people, inshallah. So, obviously we won't be able to compete with Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and nobody is saying we should cut a cow or a goat or something. That was a different time and there were different reasons for that. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when he saw that they are not eating anything, he became worried. What is happening here? These people are not eating anything. So they informed him, look, we are angels. We are not human beings. We can't eat this food. We have just come to give you good news that inshallah you will be getting a son known as Ishaq alayhi salam, and after him inshallah Yaqub, and your progeny inshallah will be Mubarak. It will have a lot of barakah in it. So he was amazed and astonished, and his wife was actually more amazed than him. That, you know, we are so old in age. Is that what Allah is going to grant us? And the malaika responded, أَتَعْجَبِينَ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ رَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ عَلَيْكُمْ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ. Are you surprised and amazed at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah and mercy? He can give anyone anything. He can create without a male or a female. He has done that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give children to those who might not have children for 10 years and 11 years and 14 years and 20 years, there is a chance. Don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah. May Allah grant such people children, inshallah. So after that, they said, look, we are on our way to the people of Lut. We are on our way to the people of Lut to destroy them. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was shocked and amazed. He was surprised that these people are going to be destroyed. And he even told them that, you know, there is a messenger there. They said, don't worry, the messenger will be saved and those who believe shall be saved. Look, there again. Those who believe shall be saved. When these young men went there, there is a story of how they arrived, but I'm not going to go into that detail. But when the nation, when the community found out, they were full of homosexuals. When they found out that there are 3 handsome men who've come into our society and they are in the house of this Lut alayhi salam, they ran there and they began to bang the door. They wanted to destroy the door. Ya Lut, you know exactly what we want. We want these men who are here. We want to attack them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. So dirty, so filthy. So Lut alayhi salam offered his own daughters. He says, Ha'ula ibanati, these are my daughters. If you'd like, هُنَّ أَطْهَرُ لَكُمْ فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَلَا تُخْزُونِ فِي ضَيْفِي. They are more pure for you to marry. And don't disgrace me with my guests here. But they began to destroy that door until the malaika, Lut alayhi salam did not know they were angels. They told him, يَا لُوتُ إِنَّا رُسُلُ رَبِّكَ لَنْ يَصِلُوا إِلَيْكَ. Oh Lut, don't be worried. We are malaika, we are angels, we've come with punishment. They will never be able to get to you, nor will they get to us. Nothing. You take your family members and go away. Besides those who have turned away, it is reported that one of his wives had turned away, Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. And he said, meaning they were told to leave the city. When they left in the morning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَمَّا جَاءَ أَمْرُنَا جَعَلْنَا عَالِيَهَا سَافِلَهَا وَأَمْطَرْنَا عَلَيْهَا حِجَارَةً مِّن سِجِّيلٍ. When the punishment came, they were lifted up and literally turned upside down. And it rained rains of stones. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us. They were punished in one of the worst ways that any nation was ever punished in the past. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the people of Madian and Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam. What was his message? His people were engaged in cheating in business. They deceived people. The commodities were not good and they lied that they were good. They lied that this was 1 kg and it was actually 800 grams and so on. And when they wanted to take, then they would lie that it's 1 kg and it was actually 1.2 kgs. So it was a win-win for them. And when Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam told them not to do that, they reprimanded him, they shouted him, they scolded him. Atanhana, in fact, what they had actually said is, are you stopping us from doing whatever we want in our wealth? Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to understand that it might be our wealth, but there are rules governing how we will earn it, how we will spend it, and so on. Then they said, وَلَوْلَا رَهْتُكَ لَرَجَمْنَاكَ. If it was not for the group of people who are following you, we would have stoned you to death a long time ago. So Shu'aib alayhi salatu wassalam says,
أَرَهْطِي أَعَزُّ عَلَيْكُم مِّنَ اللَّهِ.
Are you more worried about the group of people who are following me and you are not worried about Allah? Even if no one was following me, how could you stone a man to death who is telling you what is right and wrong? Sometimes we are also guilty of hating a person just because they told us something that we are engaged in that is wrong. We should not do that. These are the reminders in the Quran. This is how the verse is connected to me and you. We must remember, someone tells us something, alhamdulillah, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Musa alayhi salatu wa salam's story and the fact that he was sent to Fir'aun and so on. And after that, Allah makes mention of one verse that made the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cry. One day they noticed grey hairs on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he says, shayyabatni Hud. Surah Hud has made me old. It has made me worried. What is the verse? Imagine he was the most steadfast. There was nobody more steadfast than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No one could have got to him. No one has ever got to his level. No one will ever get to his level. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us true followers of him. And yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him,
فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ وَمَنْ تَابَ مَعَكَ وَلَا تَطْغَوْا إِنَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ.
O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, be steadfast like you have been commanded. Allahu Akbar. And don't go beyond the limits. Allahu Akbar. Who is being told this? The messenger who did not need to be told this, but he was told it so it can serve as a lesson for me and you. That if the best of creation was told to be steadfast, what about us? If the best of creation was told not to go beyond the limits, we go beyond the limits on a daily basis and we don't bat an eyelid. He used to engage in istighfar, أكثر من سبعين مرة. In one day, more than 70 times, according to another narration, 100 times a day, he used to say, Ya Allah, forgive me. Did he need it? Allahu Akbar. And we don't engage in istighfar. A day passes, a month passes, almost a year passes. And we haven't even turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the example of the best of creation, on a daily basis, he used to seek forgiveness more than 100 times. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a lesson from that. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that you see, these stories that we are mentioning of the previous prophets, for you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is a point of comfort, it is a point of strengthening for you, so that you know that your brethren, the messengers who were before you, they went through similar problems, just like you are facing today.
وَكُلًّا نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الرُّسُلِ مَا نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ وَجَاءَكَ فِي هَذِهِ الْحَقُّ وَمَوْعِظَةٌ وَذِكْرَى لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ.
Allah says, every time we have mentioned the stories of those before you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is there so that your heart can be strengthened as a point of comfort for you, knowing that those before you have also been through similar to what you are going through. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the same way that He has granted a lesson for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and a point of comfort, may He give us also lessons by reading the stories of the past nations, seeing what they were involved in and they were destroyed. You know, if petrol mixed with firewood makes a huge flame, or it made a huge flame last year, do we think that 10 years down the line, the one who mixes that petrol with the same firewood will not get a huge flame? That is being absurd. So if two things put together resulted in a huge inferno, the same two things put together 100 years later will result in the same inferno. The same applies. If deeds of the previous nations resulted in their destruction, do you think if we engage in the same deeds, it will not result in our destruction? Allahu Akbar. Think about that example. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commences one of the most beautiful surahs in the world, or in the Quran, one of the most beautiful surahs that have ever been mentioned on this globe or in creation.
نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ.
We are now relating to you the best of stories. Why the best of stories? Let me tell you, we don't have as much time as one would have liked. to go through the details of the lessons we learn from Surah Yusuf. But we will go through a few. Why? Because almost everyone's life is directly or indirectly affected by Surah Yusuf. Let's start drawing examples. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts off with a dream and He ends with the interpretation of that dream. And in the middle, there is another dream that is mentioned and its interpretation is also there. So the dream is, إِذْ قَالَ يُوسُفُ لِأَبِيهِ يَا أَبَتِ إِنِّي رَأَيْتُ أَحَدَ عَشَرَ كَوْكَبًا وَالشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ رَأَيْتُهُمْ لِي سَاجِدِينَ. Oh my father, I have seen 11 stars, the sun and the moon prostrate to me. That was good news. The father was a Nabi, Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam. He knew that this is some goodness. This means Allah will gather us all together one day. But he did not tell that to his son. Rather, he told his son, knowing that this is a great gift. لَا تَقْصُصْ رُؤْيَاكَ عَلَىٰ إِخُوَتِكَ فَيَكِيدُوا لَكَ كَيْدًا. Don't relate this good news to your brothers, because they might plan and plot against you. They might become jealous of you. What do we learn from this? Those were the children of a Nabi. And something good, he told his son, don't tell the others. When something good happens to us, we don't even have to tell our family members sometime until we've achieved something. Sometimes we're planning to go somewhere. Who says that you have to inform everyone? No, it depends on how important that journey is. You don't have to always inform everyone of your next move. You don't have to tell them about your business deals. You don't have to tell them about anything. إِسْتَعِينُوا عَلَىٰ قَضَاءِ حَوَائِجِكُمْ بِالْكِتْمَانِ. You should seek assistance in fulfilling your needs by being secretive to a certain extent. You don't have to tell everyone everything, because shaitan is bad. They might be good. إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لِلْإِنسَانِ عَدُوٌ مُّبِينٌ. Shaitan is an outright clear enemy against man. So even if a person does not want to be jealous, you find that sometimes shaitan puts in a spear, an arrow, interferes and makes a person jealous. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not make us jealous. When a person has a child, for example, a little baby, for those who are newly married who have children, alhamdulillah, if the baby sleeps all night, you don't have to tell the whole world, you know what, that baby, mashallah, sleeps all night. From that night on, the baby might not sleep, because ayn and the evil eye might attack that baby. You can say, look, that's a normal child, you know, they sleep, you know how children sleep. So you haven't lied, alhamdulillah. At the same time, when something good happens, you don't have to tell everyone. And if you tell them, make sure they say mashallah in front of you, don't be shy to say mashallah. Let them say it. So what? Alhamdulillah. We will save ourselves. In fact, even in this surah, we will see how Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam was worried about the evil eye befalling the fact that he had children, huge, beautiful, handsome children, all walking together, united. He didn't want people to see that. So when they were entering Egypt later on, he told them, enter separately. Why? So that people can't affect you with the evil eye. Allahu Akbar. The evil eye is true. The hadith says, Al-aynu haqqun. It is true, it can affect a person. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. But remember one thing, not every sickness that you have is the evil eye. Sometimes everything we have, people say, you know, someone did magic on me, man. You know, I don't understand, someone is jealous of me, man. Sometimes it's just a health ailment. Maybe you've eaten a bit too fast and some gastric movements in the stomach and you think there is jadu, or you think there is a little bit of magic that someone has engaged in. May Allah protect us. A little bit of Enos will do the trick, inshallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is informing us here in Surah Yusuf that we need to know who to talk to and how to talk, what to tell, who to tell. Then this Nabi had these children, and these children, subhanallah, they were the children of the Anbiya. Nabi Ya'qub alayhi salam, do you think he gave them an upbringing that was anything less than perfect? No, it was a perfect upbringing. But on top of that, they planned to kill their brother. Imagine. That means sometimes jealousy levels between brothers and family and blood can get to the point of wanting to eliminate someone. May Allah protect us. It is haram. It is prohibited. So one of the older brothers felt a little bit, you know, a little bit remorseful, and he felt a bit shy. He says, "La taqtulu Yusufa wa alquhu fi ghayabati al-jubbi." Don't kill him. Throw him into a pit, and someone will pick him up and maybe they'll take him to a far off land. So what they did is they hatched a plan. They went to their father. They told their father that, مَا لَكَ لَا تَأْمَنَّا عَلَىٰ يُوسُفَ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَنَاصِحُونَ.
أرسله معنا غدا يرتع ويلعب وإنا له لحافظون.
What's wrong with you? They're telling their father, why don't you release Yusuf عليه السلام? Release him with us tomorrow and we will go, we will graze the flock and so on, we will play and we will come back. You know what the father says?
إني ليحزنني أن تذهبوا به وأخاف أن يأكله الذئب وأنتم عنه غافلون.
I fear if I send him with you, it will make me sad, number one, because he will be away from me. You'll take him for the whole day. And there is a possibility that whilst you're not watching, a wolf might eat him. They used the same plan. They took him, they released him into that pit, and they came back with the false blood on a shirt, and they said, you know what? A wolf ate him whilst we weren't watching. Imagine. The same thing the father suggested, they took it up, and they actually came back with the same words. How many of us are fooled by our children sometimes? There is a possibility. If a Nabi could be told that by his own children, do you think our children don't lie to us? They come to us from madrasa later on in the afternoon and say, you know what, today that sheikh, that imam, that teacher, he did this and that. We roll our sleeves and we want to beat up that imam by believing a child 5 years old. Imagine. Yet we don't realize that that could be a lie. Go out, defend the teacher. Say, look, if that's what he did, that's your teacher. Why did you engage in something bad? May Allah protect us all. There's so many examples that we could actually give, but let's move on. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that he was thrown into this pit and they picked him up. When they picked him up, what does Allah say? وَأَسَرُّهُ بِضَاعَةٍ. They regarded him as merchandise. And they said, no, this will make money out of this. You know, sometimes when we pick up lost property, what do we do? Very valuable. You pick up a blank check. It tells you 1 million rands. What do you do? Very tempting. May Allah grant us iman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who can hand it back. You know what happens? Sometimes, like what we read in the newspapers, in countries like these, you find you hand back a large amount of money to the cop shop, to the policeman, sometimes it disappears from there. But don't worry, so long as you didn't steal it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us. So the same applies here. These people, what do we learn from them? They looked at an innocent boy, a very handsome man. They said, no, we'll make money out of this. Come, bring him into this. They sold him at the next market. Someone bought him, a very wealthy man bought him. And in a nutshell, what had happened? The wife of this minister of Egypt had an evil intention when she saw this handsome man, handsome Yusuf, alayhi salatu wasalam. She says, you know what? He's a worker for us. He works for us. Let me advance sexually. How many of us are guilty of making sexual advances at the workplace? Let's be honest. This lesson comes from Surah Yusuf. Whether it is male or female is besides the point. The lesson is, don't ever make sexual advances that are haram, especially at the workplace. If someone is working for you, and don't think that this person here is actually under me, so let me try my luck. Allahu Akbar. May Allah safeguard us. Look at the example. Who would have guessed that we learned this from the surah? So Surah Yusuf, the Nabi of Allah, was actually someone attempted to lure him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him. And thereafter this lady became so upset, so angry, that then the people, the other ladies, obviously everyone speaks about that lady because she is the minister's wife. She is supposed to have been a role model for everyone. The other ladies began to speak and they said, you know, this lady here, she actually wants to do something with her own workers. Imagine, may Allah protect us all. So she said, let me fix these ladies. They don't know how handsome this man is. So she prepared a little sitting for them and gave each one of them an apple with a knife. A fruit with a knife. And she told Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, because he was a worker, he had to obey the instructions. I want you to pass from here when they are all seated. As he passed, they were so engrossed in looking that they cut their hands. Allahu Akbar. Imagine how handsome he must have been. They were so engrossed in looking that they cut their hands and they said, مَا هَذَا بَشَرًا إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا مَلَكٌ كَرِيمٌ. This is no ordinary human being. This is an angel. This is an angel. Allahu Akbar. What do we learn from this? Let's draw a jewel from it. We learn from it that whenever our eyes and our gaze is not controlled and we happen to look at the opposite sex more than what we are allowed, in that case it will result in destruction of one way or another. Let me give you an example. Sometimes you're driving your motor vehicle and someone happens to pass quite good looking and you turn, you might bump the car in front of you. It can happen. Why? It's similar to cutting the hand. It will cause bodily harm, material harm. It will cause lots of harm. It's a fact. Sometimes if you engage in an act you might end up with a huge disease. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us. So this is a lesson to say, anyone who wants to follow that path, there is destruction coming your way. Do you know that we are taught by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that when you have wealth, a salary at the end of the month, or wealth, and there is no barakah in it, no barakah at all, ask yourself, you probably engaged in a sin. You're probably oiling some of your bad habits. Maybe casino, maybe gambling, maybe drinking, maybe nightclubs, maybe drugs, maybe a woman, maybe someone of the opposite sex. You need to pay money. You need to look after someone more than what Allah has shouldered upon you. How can there be barakah in your wealth? So if you find your money is running away quickly, leave the sins and you will find that 500 rands will last the whole month. You'll still have 450 inshallah. May Allah grant us barakah in our wealth. This is a very important lesson we learn from in Surah Yusuf as well. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about how he was jailed. They jailed him, innocent man. This means that not everyone in jail is actually guilty. Sometimes the law is guilty of finding an innocent man guilty. That's the case. Because he might have been framed, someone might have been a false witness, and so on, and they might have jailed a person. So not everyone who is in jail is actually a criminal. And for this reason, we must give those who come out of the jail terms, after having served the terms and they come out, give them a chance. Give them a chance to come back into society. Embrace them and accept them. Yes, you can keep a watchful eye, but at the same time, you need to, it is our duty to make sure that we make them feel back accepted in the society. May Allah grant that to all of us. May He grant us the ability to do that. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam. When he was jailed, it didn't depress him. He made a dua, Ya Allah, I'd rather go to jail than to fulfilling the desires of this lady. Strictly speaking, how many are prepared to do that? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to answer that question in our hearts and minds. Imagine, the hadith says, رَجُلٌ دَعَتْهُ إِمْرَأَةٌ ذَاتُ مَنْصَبٍ وَجَمَالٍ فَقَالَ إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهِ. Allah will grant the shade of His arsh on the day of Qiyamah to a man whom, when a lady who is very good looking and wealthy and well to do, who has a high status in society, calls him towards sin, and she says, look, he says, look, I fear Allah. Allah says, on the day of Qiyamah, I will call him out by name. Everyone will be wondering, what is this man called out for? By name, Allahu Akbar. Allah says, come, this day of heat, you will be under the air conditioning system, Allahu Akbar, under the shade of my own arsh, Allahu Akbar. May Allah grant that to us. Remember those who have fallen, it's never too late to turn to Allah. It's never too late to repent. That is why we have the month of Ramadan, so that we can have hope in the mercy of Allah, Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. So he was jailed, he seized the opportunity of that jail term to teach someone something, to teach his inmates a few things, and that is made mention of in this Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about how he told his inmates about Allah. He gave them da'wah. One of them was to be executed and the other one was released. After some time, the king also saw a dream, and Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam interpreted that dream, and as a result, he was called, he was given a chance to clarify his name. He was given a chance to clarify his name, because when he interpreted the dream of the king, what had happened is, in that dream, there was a prophecy of a drought, and there was preparation required for that drought. The one who was able to prepare for that drought was Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, because he understood it totally. So he was made a minister. Imagine, from jail to being a minister. It happens many times. We find a person, like in this country, from jail to presidency, alhamdulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all understanding that not everyone in jail is actually guilty, as we said. So from the jail term, he was made a minister. And he was given a chance to cleanse himself, because he refused to become the minister until he was allowed to ask the ladies a question. Who was guilty, me or you? And they actually had to confess, to say, you know what? We were the guilty ones, you were innocent. So whoever is accused falsely, Allah will give you the opportunity to clarify your name one day, inshallah. If not today, then in the akhirah, inshallah. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about how the brothers had come to him begging him for food. Now look, what lesson do we learn from this? Those who plan the downfall of others, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will drop them lower than those whom they are planning the downfall of. To the degree that one day they might come begging to the same person that they had planned and plotted against at some point. So, two lessons. One is, we should not plan and plot against someone else. Leave it to Allah. And two is, when someone plans and plots against us, don't stress, don't grieve. The story of Yusuf alayhi salam is there as an example for myself and yourselves. So alhamdulillah, when they came, a long story occurred, and thereafter it resulted in them being united with the whole family. And there are many stories. In fact, Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam had lost his eyesight. And Yusuf alayhi salam says, take my shirt and go and drop it, go and give it to my father, his sight will come back. Do you know what medicine has discovered recently in the last few years? I read an article whereby they say the sweat of man, human sweat, can actually solve some visual problems in the eyes. A type of cataract can actually be cured through a drops. They were actually researching this in Switzerland. The drops with human sweat content in it. Allahu Akbar. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam just said it. Take my shirt and go and give it to our father. Cast it on him and his eyesight will return. That's exactly what happened. Now, years later, we don't even know how many years later. But how many years after the revelation of the Quran? More than 1400 years later, people are discovering that indeed, the sweat of human beings has a role to play. I've read the article myself. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all understanding that this Quran is the book of Allah. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about how the parents came together and everyone came together, and then the statement was made by Yusuf alayhi salam. Ya abati hadha ta'wilu ru'yaya min qabl. Oh my father, this is the interpretation of the dream that I had in the very beginning of the sun, the moon and the 11 stars. So the sun was depicting the father of the house. The moon was depicting the mother of the house. And we've got to listen to this carefully. And the stars were depicting the 11 children. If you take a look at the qualities of the sun, strong, powerful, it shines, everyone feels secure in the presence of the sun. We go out, we work, we earn sustenance, we come back, we feel so secure. That is, those are the qualities of the sun. Every father in every home needs to have the qualities that the sun outside has. He needs to present, give the warmth in the house, the sense of security, bring in the sustenance, make everyone feel secure and make them feel well. Don't we feel so good when the sun is out? We run around without any fear, alhamdulillah. Those are the qualities that Allah has kept in the sun. They are supposed to be in every successful father of every home. The moon, beautiful, you can look at it. MashaAllah, you can admire it. The moon, the light of the moon is solely derived from the sun. Do we know that? The brighter the sun, the more you see of the moon. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept the example of the moon, the example of the successful mother in the house. The stars, who are the children, you don't see them during the daylight. If you look at the sun, you won't be able to see it directly. You will probably need some glasses. That is the respect of the father in the house. Not to say we shouldn't look at him, but we respect him. But when the moon is out, the stars are twinkling, mashallah. It shows the closeness of relation between the children and the mother. Alhamdulillah. Let's try and understand this example. It's a very deep example. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, successful mothers, amazingly, they should be having the qualities of the moon. Can I give you one more jewel that we extract? The moon goes through a 28-day cycle. Precisely. Some days it's not there. Some days it's there. The same applies to a woman. She goes through a 28-day cycle. Some days she is there, some days she is not there. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the true understanding. Wallahi, when Allah gives an example, it is a perfect example that fits. And if we think that it is not a perfect example, we need to revisit our intellect, because the Creator cannot make a mistake. The stars, alhamdulillah, we've seen. Now let me tell you, and we want to end with this. Inshallah, I might mention one verse of Surah Ar-Ra'd, seeing that I've taken a little bit more time, because it's an interesting surah today. Very interesting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us yet another example. When we mix the roles, when father wants to play role of mother and mother wants to play role of father, what happens? There is chaos and confusion. They are fighting. The children lose the most. Don't we agree? The children suffer the most, because these two have now confused their roles. So when the sun goes into the place of the moon goes into the place of the sun, we have an eclipse where you can see neither of them. Amazing. And what happens? The stars are nowhere to be seen when there is an eclipse. The same way, when we mix up our roles that Allah has given us, we have what is known as a social eclipse. Chaos in the house. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from that sign of Qiyamah. In the same way that an eclipse is a sign of Qiyamah, we are supposed to be engaging in salah and istighfar and tawbah when the eclipse is there outside. When there is a social eclipse in the house, that is also a sign of Qiyamah. We need to be engaging in istighfar and tawbah and salah until the condition returns to normal. That is Surah Yusuf. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding, beautiful lessons. In Surah Al-Ra'd, which we inshallah we will commence with tomorrow, we will commence speaking about it tomorrow inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about how even the thunder praises Allah. يُسَبِّحُ الرَّعْدُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ مِنْ خِيفَتِهِ. Even the Ra'd, even the thunder, even the lightning, all these are creatures of Allah. They are declaring the greatness of Allah, engaging in the dhikr and remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we don't comprehend it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all acceptance. Wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.